Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We just finished a discussion about some of the resources available to folks that may be struggling to recover or know folks that are having some challenges recovering from the flooding this past weekend, and a bit of breaking news. Senator Tammy Baldwin, alongside Representatives Gwen Moore and Brian Steil, called on the Trump administration and the Federal Emergency Management Agency in a letter today to support Wisconsin's request to assist the state in conducting a formal preliminary damage assessment, as well as for FEMA aid. That just breaking moments ago, related to, of course, what we were talking about here. But we've got a great guest to talk to us about what violence prevention actually looks like and what crime statistics actually are, since there's a lot of misinformation flying around. His name is Chandler Hall. He's the Associate Director of Gun Violence Prevention with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Welcome to the show. Chandler, thanks so much for making time.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
I've got a little bit of sound of Jamie Raskin discussing what has been going on in Washington, D.C., and I thought we would just start there because I think he does a incredibly good job about clearly articulating what's actually going on. Let's take a listen to it together.
Hey, everybody. The whole country knows what a real emergency looks like in Washington, D.C. That's January 6, 2021, when thousands of mob insurrectionists and violent cop-beating criminals attacked Congress at the instigation of Donald Trump and endangered the vice president and injured more than 140 officers there. Donald Trump did nothing on that day. He didn't send out the National Guard, but that was a real emergency. And he sat on his hands. What's going on in D.C. today is the lowest crime in 30 years. Donald Trump's talking about the graffiti and the crime out of control without looking at all at the actual statistics. In any event, if he cared about public safety in D.C., he would release the $1 billion he's confiscated and impounded and tell the Republicans to release that money to the people of D.C. who want to spend it on public safety and law enforcement and public schools and so on. This isn't an emergency. This is just a public relations crisis because the president is hiding the Epstein file despite the fact that he campaigned on releasing it. So release the Epstein file and let the people in Washington, D.C. govern themselves.
Pretty specific, pretty clear about what's happening there. I want to start with an issue that I raised yesterday on this program, Chandler, and that is the difference between, I think, sometimes what the data shows and public perception. We have seen, frankly, a steady decrease in violent crime, and whether you're looking at FBI data or even state-to-state crime statistics, we are generally at a low point from where many states and our country as a whole found ourselves, say, for example, in the early 90s. And yet there's this persistent public belief, and some hold, but again, you see it in some of the polling, that people are concerned about public safety, that they don't share the belief or they don't quite believe the data. What's going on there? And then I want to get into the data, but I just wanted to start with that because I think sometimes Democrats will just talk about the data, but won't talk about how people are feeling, right? The disconnect that's there.
No, that's it's an incredible point. And the, I think, most important part to frame this, as you are ever going to talk about crime statistics, and to your point, the perception of crime in our streets and in our communities. Consistently throughout history, every point when you've ever looked at it, survey data about the perceptions of crime often lag the actual crime statistics. And that goes in both directions of people feeling that their communities are less safe than they actually are when they're becoming more safe, and that they think they are more safe when they're actually becoming more dangerous over time. And often that has to do with the fact that we are driven by anecdotal evidence in our own lives. And unfortunately, while you, and to your credit, have already pointed out that crime statistics, and in particular homicide statistics across the country in almost every major American city, has been going down precipitously over the last couple of years, that was preceded by an incredible surge in violence that happened Starting right around the same time, we were learning about what COVID-19 was in 2020. And so for anyone who has a family member or a loved one or themselves was directly impacted either by a homicide or a violent crime, that's going to stick in their memory a lot longer than anything that they have to hear from crime statistics. And most of the time, our perceptions of safety has more to do about what we're hearing from our networks and also, frankly, like what we are seeing in the streets. And so, you know, regrettably, the Trump administration in their calls to say that they need to make DC safer, you know, they're saying they in the same breath, they're talking about homeless encampments and the unhoused population as being part of the problem. While that's not true, and there's nothing to say that an unhoused population has anything to correlate with crime statistics, it's getting at the kind of heart of what people feel when they think about crime and safety, and it's what they see on the streets.
This is one of those, I think, really sticky public perception versus data problems that we see repeatedly. And fear is such an incredible motivator for people. When people feel afraid, when they feel unsafe, for them in those moments, it almost doesn't matter what the data says. And yet the data is so important. And so I just want to introduce into this discussion and respectfully suggest to folks that are in that place of anxiety or fear, genuine, I think, good faith concern for their family or their community safety, that we need to understand why we feel this way, but it is incredibly important that we're asking our government officials and elected officials to tell us the truth about it and to make policy decisions that are guided by accurate facts and data. And so let's get into a bit of that data. As an economist, right, I want to know what the good data is, what the facts are, and hopefully that our policies then actually meet or reflect what the actual facts on the ground are, that we're not legislating by feeling or impression, right? Like, that's not the goal of government. I don't care if you're conservative and you want to lock everybody up. We got to know what we're doing, what the facts are. Tell us what the facts are from these FBI statistics. And you can speak on a national basis. Please speak to Wisconsin as well. What are the facts? What is the actual data about crime in Washington, D.C., in this country, and here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, great. Yeah, so I'll start with the national trends. As you mentioned, the FBI released their annual crime report of the nation last week. So that looked at all crime reported to local law enforcement between January 1st of 2024 and December 31st of 2024. And so while it is not our most recent data, or you know, we're not able to look at that in real time, it definitely presents the most accurate data that allows us to get as small as a local law enforcement agency that might not otherwise be able to post publicly available data, but also gives us the best sense of national trends as well. And so, as you've already kind of alluded to, we've seen historic declines in our homicide rate, in violent crime and property crime. Both violent crime and property crime are now at their lowest rates nationally that they've been at in over 50 years. And our homicide rate this past year went down by almost 15%, which is the largest single year decrease ever recorded by the FBI. That's coming on the back of the second largest ever recorded single year decrease, which was in 2023. And if we continue on this pace, we'll actually in 2025, and as more current data is showing us is that we are on that pace, we'll have the lowest ever recorded murder rate by the end of this year as well. So nationally, that's what we're seeing. And that also is happening across the board. That's not just being, you know, happening in one place that's kind of carrying the data for the rest of the country. That's also true for Wisconsin as well. Violent crime is down 3.5% in 2024. Property crime was down 5.2%, and homicides were down 16%, all in 2024.
And here in Milwaukee, which is, I think, is often utilized or perhaps misutilized by conservatives in this state to, again, I think, try to instill fear in people. And here in Milwaukee, yes, do we have an issue with, for example, reckless driving? Yep, we do. There are what I'm going to call and distinguish between violent crimes and things that can impact quality of life, but are more in the nuisance crime variety, right? It might be a slightly artificial distinction, but it's there. We've seen violent crime reductions in significant percentages here in the city of Milwaukee. And yes, we still have to struggle to address what I'm going to call some of these quality of life impairing crimes across the city. And certainly our mayor has taken great strides to do so. But you look at the mayors of Baltimore, Chicago, Philadelphia, all these other big cities, we've seen incredible violent crime reductions in those cities as well. When Donald Trump lies about this to people on a regular basis, and therefore then has other Republicans lying to people about this on a regular basis, this then results in resources being reallocated to different programs. To be blunt about it, I don't need to see an FBI agent running traffic stops because someone has a blown out taillight in our nation's capital. That's not making me any safer because that FBI agent isn't investigating other much more serious federal crimes or suspects that we really do need them looking at. What's happening when we've got these diversions of resources, and where are the resources getting diverted to?
Yeah, you make the point exceptionally well. Really, not only is it a diversion of resources, but actually these actions are putting our public safety gains at risk. What has been the major consensus among all those folks you just mentioned across all the cities and our mayors and our states is what we need is a public health approach to reducing violence. And that comes from community-led solutions and community partnerships and relationships. When federal enforcement officers are now deployed to our cities and asked to do, you know, street patrols and traffic stops like you're describing, that puts at risk all of those relationships that we've worked really, really hard to build, and especially to reach the folks who are most connected to violence and crime as well. So, you know, all of the programs that now there is wide consensus among researchers, among local law enforcement, and among city officials is that it are these community violence intervention programs. They take a completely different approach to law enforcement than what Trump is proposing and what the Trump administration's actions reflect this week. And again, not only are they diverting resources, but they're putting our public safety gains at risk. And this is exactly what you get when you have an administration that cares more about the appearance of being good on crime versus actually being good on crime.
Folks, we've got with us this half hour Chandler Hall. He's the Associate Director for Gun Violence Prevention at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to come back with Chandler. We're going to talk about what violence prevention actually looks like, what some of these community programs are doing on a ground up basis. And we're going to continue this important discussion because facts matter and actual violence prevention matters. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.